1 Peter chapter number 1. Amen. Glad you're saved this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Not everybody's always familiar with the, you know, Bible terminology. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And boy, I'm glad that I know what being saved is talking about. Amen. I was on a slick road to hell. Amen. Didn't have no hope, no help. And boy, God came to where I was at and showed me I was lost and showed me how I could be saved. Well, I thank God for that. I'm glad I got it settled as a 15-year-old boy. I'm glad God can save sinners. Amen. Boy, that's good news, ain't it? Amen. When the world in its wisdom knew not God, it pleased God. Listen, I know there's a lot of things that don't please God, but I'm glad there's one thing that did please God. And through the foolishness of preaching that He'd save them that would believe. Amen. If you'd believe this morning, God'd save you. And if you wouldn't believe, best thing you do is keep your mouth shut and let somebody else believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's stand this morning as you get ready to read. Everybody that can stand will stand. Amen. And read two verses this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible said, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your, from your fathers. Peter said, but with the precious blood of Christ. The Bible says, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's read those two verses again. Peter said, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God, we pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd do something for us in this service. Lord, I pray that you'd settle the hearts and the minds of those folks that are here. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd do something that man cannot do here. Lord, we could get encouragement. God, we could get relaxation. But Lord, we need spiritual help this morning. And I pray, Holy Ghost of God, that you'd work in our hearts and minds. I pray for those that are lost this morning, from the youngest to the oldest in here. Lord, I believe there's some folk that are not sure that they've ever been born again. And I pray, God, that you'd get all over them this morning. And God, show yourself real. And I pray they'd be saved today before it's everlasting too late. And God, I pray that you'd edify and build up the saints of God. Lord, draw us close, Lord, everything that's done here on the property. We pray right now, God, that you'd receive the glory and the honor for it. For we ask these things in the name that's above every name. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Peter, boy, what a passage of Scripture Peter's given us here in 1 Peter. Amen. And the Bible says you're not redeemed with corruptible things. I like the topic of verse 18 and verse 19. Talking about redemption. I'm glad for redemption this morning. Amen. I'm glad that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. I'm glad he wasn't imputing our trespasses and our sins to us. Well, I'm glad that God bought me back. Amen. Hey, listen, look, young boy, stand up right there. You know which one I'm talking about. How about stand up for me right now? Stand up. It's church time. If you don't like it, you can lump it, but you can get out of here. It's church time, all right? These other boys around you ain't never had a problem with church till you showed up. I'll let you know God's offering you salvation today. If you repent and trust in him, you can be saved. But if not, you refuse it, you're dying to go to hell one day, but you're not going to mess up this church service. You understand? You understand? Yes, sir. How about sit back down then? Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, that God was inside of Christ, Jesus Christ, that is, reconciling the world unto himself. He did that by the precious blood of Christ. You understand, we're not saved merely by God's life. We're not saved by his miracles this morning. We're not saved by the fact that he raised up a little girl from the dead. No, sir, we're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, a few things that we'll get to before we get into the message. Number one, Peter mentions a caution of redemption. He says, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things. The word corruptible simply means things that perish. Peter's trying to let you know that you can't buy your way into heaven and that you can't work your way into heaven. You know, there's a lot of false doctrines when it comes to salvation. And Peter is warning those believers not to be fooled and not to fool anybody else.
when it comes to terms of salvation. Peter says, you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things. You may not know it this morning, but I know it this morning. Amen. I know what redeems fallen man. Amen. And it's not how much money you put in the offering plate this morning. It's not the church house that you attend. Amen. Listen, it's not how fancy of an outfit that you got. Oh, it's not what you drove in the church this morning. It's not the baptismal waters. It's not eating wafers and drinking juice out of a cup. Somebody say amen. Listen, it's not by some man that calls himself father and dresses like a mother. Somebody say amen. And we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. The caution of redemption. You better be real careful this morning what you trusting in to take you to heaven. Some folks trust in their family name. Some folks trust in their family's religion. Some folks trust in what they could bring to God. I found that when that Cain got upset because what he brought to God wasn't good enough. I'll let you know this morning, you can't bring God anything good enough. Isaiah said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. It's not by might and nor by power, God said, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Paul said, if you're saved by grace and through faith, he said that not of yourselves, and it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why did Paul say that? He said that because we are his workmanship. I created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. And God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The caution of our religion. I want to ask you a question right now, from the youngest to the oldest in here. If you died right now, where would you spend eternity? Listen, if you're outside the shed blood of Jesus Christ this morning, your eternal destiny is a place called hell. A place, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A place of everlasting destruction. The Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads unto destruction. And many there be at which go in thereat. Let me help you, that word many, that means the person sitting on one side of you and the person sitting on the other side of you. They're probably going to die and go to hell when you get out there in the world. They listening to it. Admit, there's more folk going to hell than there is going to heaven. That's the stark reality. I didn't make that up. Jesus said more folk are going the way of destruction and are going the way of everlasting life. I want to let you know this morning that God's provided a way for us to be saved, but it's not through corruptible things. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. The caution of redemption. Then he goes over the correction of redemption. He says, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Watch it now. From your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Isn't it interesting enough that right smack dab in the context of redemption's plan, at the first part of verse 18 we see what we're not redeemed by, and in verse 19 we see what we are redeemed by. But right smack dab in the middle of those two subjects, we're told what we're redeemed from. God said, from your vain conversations. Now the word conversation is an old English word for behavior. It means your manner of life, how you talk, how you walk, amen, how you dress, where you go, and what you do when you get there. It has references to what kind of music that you're listening to, what kind of songs on your heart. It speaks of your television shows that you watch and the DVDs that you have in your cabinet. And God says that when you are redeemed, and you're not redeemed with corruptible things, but you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, and God said, I want you to know that you've been redeemed from your vain conversations. The only difference in between, nobody's perfect, I understand that, and a saint and sinner alike both have what we refer to as sins. But you know the difference in between saint sins and sinner sins is sinners love their sin and saints hate their sin. And I'm glad that I got redeemed from that vain conversation. I'm glad that I'm not still living the way I used to live. You may enjoy living like you're living, but I want to say to you that you're not enjoying dying like you're going to die. I'm glad that I'll die one day if the Lord tarries. I'll die one day, but I'll die in the Lord. They may put this body 6 feet under the ground. I want to know that my soul will be with Jesus. I'm glad glad that I'll drop and rise and I'll seize the everlasting prize. I'm glad that I'm headed to a land fairer than day. I'm glad that just beyond Jordan's rolling tide, there's a city of gold waiting for me, friend. Now, the correction of redemption. I'll ask you this morning, have you been redeemed from your vain conversation? Now, I know a lot of folks that have said prayers. I know a lot of folks that have gone down into baptismal waters. I want to ask you, friend, this morning, though, have you been redeemed from your vain conversation? By the way, the word vain means useless. That is, any other thing in life except for the Lord Jesus Christ is useless to you. Amen. You know, the world has all their kinds of temporary fixes and moments of joy and pleasure. But I want to know, everything outside of Jesus Christ is useless. As Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not upon thee. I want to say to you this morning, thank God that He changed me from what I was. I may not be what I ought to be, but I am not what I used to be. The caution of redemption, the correction of redemption. But then we come down to preaching time and we see the cause of redemption. See, I'm not preaching on the corruptible things. I'm not even preaching on our conversation things. I'm preaching on the things about redemption. The cause of redemption found in verse 19. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ. I thank God for the blood of Christ this morning. Amen. I like church. I believe in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I believe in church every night of a revival meeting. I believe in church. Amen. I love church. And I listen, but I want to say to you that we're not redeemed by the church this morning. And I love good godly fellowship. I plan on having a little bit of about 12:30 this afternoon. But I'll let you know I'm not redeemed by Christian fellowship. I love a lot of things about the Christian life. I'll let you know the reason why I love church and the reason why I love my Bible and the reason why I love prayer this morning. It's not got to do with any of those things, but the only reason I love it is because of precious and blood of Christ. Amen. He said you're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Amen. I wonder why Peter called it precious. You know, lots of words that we could use to describe something so efficacious, something so effectual, something that works and cleans. One preacher said that God would take your black sin, wash it in red blood, and it'd come out white as snow. Well, I like that, don't you? Amen. And Peter called it precious. I looked up the word precious. It means valuable. Can you imagine? Listen, the value placed on the Son of God and the blood that Jesus, somebody said the blood Jesus shed that was able to start saving then and throughout all eternity. I'll let you know that's not even accurate. The blood Jesus shed that went all the way back 4,000 years earlier, and Adam got saved by the blood and Eve got saved by the blood. That blood that Abel brought was just a type of the blood that Christ would shed, and it was just a little holding fee is all it was. I'm glad that the blood Jesus shed was enough to save all the Old Testament saints. It's enough to save all the New Testament saints. It'd be enough to save all the tribulation saints. I'm glad for the precious blood of Christ. It's valuable. It's costly. By the way, it cost the dear Son of God His life. Amen. God had died, Bible says in Romans 5:8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, said Christ died for us. Amen. It's esteemed. I like this one right here. That Strong's Lexicon said it's had in reputation. That's what the word precious means. It means it's got a reputation. I'll let you know the blood of Christ has a reputation this morning. It's got a reputation of taking old reprobates, old drunkards and drug addicts and dope heads out of the horrible pit that they're in. I'm telling you, that old blood of Christ, it's got a reputation for taking old deadbeat daddies and old harlot mamas and taking them off the street and putting a song in their heart. The blood of Christ got a reputation from taking old maniac of Gadara and putting clothes on him and putting him in his right mind and sending him down to the Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, where he could say, tell me more and tell me more. I want to let you know this morning, Peter used the word precious because it is valuable and because it is costly and because it is esteemed and because it does have a reputation that it works this morning. Dr. Phil may give you some bad advice. In fact, I'd say all his advice is probably bad. I hadn't watched him as much as y'all. Amen. I will let you know and listen that the psychologist may give you some advice and some of it may work, some of it may not work. I'll let you know this morning, though, at the blood that Jesus shed, it works every time. I will listen. If I didn't want to get in on it, I'd get away from it because it all it takes is about a drop of it. And friend, it'll change your life. I mean, it'll do for you. I'm talking about it'll put something on you, amen. And won't nothing ever be able to take it away. I couldn't die and go to hell today if I wanted to. Because God has given his blood, and not just blood, but precious that blood. I want to say, hey, Romans 3, listen, lots of description words. Romans 3:25 has said that we've got propitiation through the blood. In Romans 5:9, we're justified by his blood. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, we have communion because the blood. 1 Corinthians 11:25, the New Testament came because of his blood. In Ephesians 1:7, we're redeemed through his blood. In Ephesians 2:13, we're made nigh and by his blood. And in Colossians 1:20, we have peace through the blood of his cross. Thank God for his precious blood. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. I want to let you know this morning, the only thing that can cleanse you from your sin is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Few reasons this morning why Peter called it precious. Number one, I believe he called it precious because of the purity of the blood. Amen. You see, mine and your blood this morning is not pure. We've been tainted. In Genesis chapter number 3, we find Adam and Eve, the first man and first woman. Praise God, I'm glad they didn't come from a monkey. Somebody say amen. I'm glad that God created man in his own image. I'm glad, hey, listen, the Hebrews call it the word Imago Dei. That means in the image of God. And God took the dust of the ground, not even dirt, Brother Brian. But he scooped down. I'm talking about not even a speck of dirt, like them Lindsay brothers sang about. But it was the dust that the dirt caused, and he took that dust out of the air, and he formed man. And the Bible says he put the Spirit of God, he breathed life into them, giving man spirit. And then he put man in a deep sleep, and from that sleep he took a rib out of the side of man, and he made a woman. Somebody say amen. Amen. Fully on all this education, evolution, and once I was a tadpole small and thin, then I was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey hanging from a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. Hey, I don't have much use for that kind of mess. The Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. By the way, Darwin, before he died on his deathbed, I recounted every bit of theory that he had, and he said there's no proof in anything he had. I will tell you what kind of proof we have this morning in the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad God saves old sinners. Amen. And so we see the purity of his blood. Man tainted his blood in Genesis chapter 3. And the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he crept up. By the way, he'll creep up on you too. And he crept up alongside of Adam and Eve. And he started tempting. I believe he knew. I believe we could get into it this morning. I believe he knew Eve had her eye on that tree a long time before the devil showed up there. But listen, the Bible says that Eve took of that forbidden fruit, and she ate it, and she plummeted all of mankind into the depths of hell. You say, how'd she do that? Well, it wasn't Eve's bite, but it was what Adam would do to reunite himself with his bride. And so because Eve ate, Bible says she gave also unto her husband, and Adam did eat. And when Adam ate of that seed, out of that fruit, and sinned against God, he did not sin as an individual did, but he sin as a federal head. And in Romans 5:12 we read, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. It wasn't by the sin of the woman, but it was by the sin of the man. You want to know why this morning? Because blood is passed down through the male trait. Listen at me now. I want to help you this morning. God had to do something there because he had pronounced judgment on whoever ate from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when Adam took of that fruit and he ate it, God didn't curse his flesh, no sir, but God cursed his blood, and he put something different on the inside of man's DNA structure that made him have a life expectancy, which meant that one day Adam would die. And every person after Adam would have to die. That's why the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Huh? Amen. That's one thing Darwin couldn't ever figure out, is that why man died. I want to let you know why man dies. Because man sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And everybody that's ever lived after Adam that was born of man has been born a sinner. David said, I shaped it in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. But we find there in Genesis chapter 3 what the theologians call the protevangelium. That is the first promise of redemption's plan. And in that promise, God mentioned, he said, in her seed. I found that statement's only mentioned twice inside of our Bible. It's mentioned once in Genesis chapter number 3, and it's mentioned again in the book of Revelation, talking about the bride of Christ, how she overcomes through the blood and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. But in Genesis 3, where it mentions her seed, you know, that's the only person that we've ever seen that was born merely of a woman with no admittance of an earthly father. Somebody say amen. Well, what I'm saying this morning is that that one that God was talking about in Genesis chapter 3 was born about 2,000 years ago, and his name was Jesus Christ. The reason why he was called her seed is because he wasn't his seed. That is, he didn't have any earthly father. You know, when a lady is pregnant, the male's blood gets inside that little baby, and none of the mother's blood gets inside that baby. It all comes from the daddy. That's why every person that's ever been born. By the way, two girls don't make a baby. Somebody say amen. That's against nature and against God. Somebody say amen. And when a man and a woman come together for this cause, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. When that happens, the man's blood goes into making that little baby. Amen. But I found that God didn't work it out like that with Christ, because man's blood had been tainted. Jesus Christ could have no earthly father, and that's why God picked out a woman, a fair virgin, and he said, I'm going to put my seed. He didn't put man's seed, but he placed the seed of an almighty God. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and implanted that seed in her, and now we have a God that was reconciling both man and God together with pure blood. In other words, his blood ain't tainted this morning. He said his precious blood because of the origin of his blood. Amen. There was no fault. There was no taint. Nothing bad on the inside of that blood. It's perfect blood. It's potent blood. It's powerful blood. Thank God it's perfect. Amen. And then the operation of the blood. I like what the blood can do for you. I like what blood's done for me this morning. In Leviticus 17:11, it atones. That means it covers. Aren't you glad? Listen, that when I'm in the immediate act of sin, that God can't even see me then. It's not that he's covering me up afterwards. It's that he didn't even see it now in the first place. Amen. Leviticus 17:11 said the blood atones. And then in Hebrews 9:22, we find the blood remits. That is, there without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I believe we're misunderstood on that word remission. It's not talking about a taken away. It's talking about a setting free. That is the word remission means to set at liberty, Brother Brian. So if the blood atones and covers up in Leviticus 17, then in Hebrews chapter 9, it sets free. And when you get set free by the blood of Christ, I'm glad you're free indeed. I'm glad that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty this morning. And then I found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5, not only does the blood cover, and not only does the blood free, but in Revelation 1:5, the blood cleans. He said, who has washed us in his own blood. I'm glad the blood had cleaned you up. You ever got dirty being on the outside? You ever got around the wrong crowd, the wrong conversation, and the wrong kind of environment, and kind of feel dirty? I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. His pure blood. I thank God for his operation. By the way, has the blood ever washed you? Has the blood ever covered you? Has the blood ever set you free from the depths of sin and despair? Number two, he called it precious. Not only because, listen, not only because of what it really does, but I want to say he called it precious because of the profit of the blood. That is the word. That is, the blood of Christ will profit you. Amen. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But he poses an important question there, the first part I'm interested in. He says, what shall it prosper? You know why you shouldn't gain the whole world? Because it's not going to profit you anything. You know why Jesus is saying there, don't go after the world's bit of wealth and riches. Don't strive for that because it's not going to profit you anything. So what shall it profit? Amen. I'll let you know this morning that we can ask that question about the blood. And what will it profit a man if he gets washed in the blood? Hey, I want to let you know this morning, it'll profit you more than anything else ever has in life. Amen. Listen, it'll profit you by securing your pardon. Amen. Colossians 1:14 said, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. It'll secure your pardon this morning. You know, death penalty's been passed upon all man. Do you know that? Because you've sinned against an almighty God. Because you've broken the commandments of God. Everybody in here this morning has offended God by their sin. If you've ever told a lie, if you've ever disobeyed your parents, if you've ever put something before God, if you've ever had jealousy in your heart, if you've ever used God's name in vain, if you've ever, amen, if you've ever done any of those things, you're guilty of breaking the law of God. And the Bible says the law will fall on you and it'll grind you to powder. James said if you've guilty in one aspect of breaking the law, then you're guilty of everything. If you've ever told a lie, you're just as bad as a murderer, as a thief, and as a rapist, and the same hell that Saddam Hussein died and went to is the same hell that you'll die and go to off a Baptist church pew. Huh? There ain't no two and three, four different places folks die. That man dies without God in his life, and he goes straight to hell. I found a rich man with almsgiving and a tithing record that died, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. Is everybody okay this morning? Amen. Listen, you need a pardon this morning. God's pronounced a death penalty on you. He said the soul that sins, it shall surely die. And we've sinned against God and we're going to die. Paul said, as is appointed unto man, once to die and after this the judgment. Now listen at me. The first death ain't what you got to worry about. It's that second time you're going to die. Oh, John, the Revelator, talked about over there in the book of Revelation about death and hell being cast up and being judged, and then them being cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. What you got to worry about this morning is you're not only going to die once, but you're going to die twice. One preacher said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And hey, listen, if you've never been born again by the good grace of God, you've never been redeemed from your vain conversations, you'll die not only a physical death, but you'll die a spiritual death. And you'll die one day, and you'll wake, and you'll blink your eyes. And as soon as you open your eyes back up, you'll be in hell. And you won't have to ask anybody where you're at. And you won't have to ask why you're there. And you, hey, listen, there'll be no exit signs. And there'll be no break room. There'll be no party in hell. There'll be no beer. There'll be no drugs. There won't be a football channel. You're in hell. And you'll have an eternal memory wishing you'd got saved. You'll have eternal torments wishing you'd got saved. You'll remember your family back that you condemned to death, that you condemned to hell by the way you lived. And every time you rejected the shed blood of Christ, how you were pulling your friends, how you were pulling your family members into a place called hell. You say, what is it? What good is it to get saved? I'll let you know to secure your part. Hey, what if a man, listen, headed to death row, had done all, unspeakable acts. Let's make it personal. Let's say you messed up and you committed unspeakable acts. You murdered and raped and listed all kinds of horrendous crimes against society and against mankind. And your court date came up and you were sure that you were going to face the death penalty. And just before sentence is passed, that man walks in the room and he said, I've got a pardon from the president. And I listen, so-and-so is free to go. You know the joy that would be in your soul. You know how happy you'd be because a pardon had come by your way. I want to let you know you've not sinned against society, but you've done the same thing David's done. And against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We've sinned not against man, but we've sinned against God. Our sin's not horizontal, our sin's vertical. We've messed up against God. But I'm glad 2,000 years ago that Jesus took a piece of paper and he signed my pardon. And in Romans chapter 7, the Bible said in verse 4, and he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and he blotted it out, having nailed it to his cross. And when the devil comes my way, I just point him back to Calvary, and I tell him to read that note that God signed for me. Thank God, a pardon has been secured. I want to say a position has been settled. In 1 John 3:1, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, and we could be called the sons of God. That doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. Amen. Hallelujah to God. And my position has been settled this morning. I'm not, hey, listen, you don't have to refer to me in my earthly sense anymore because I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger passing through. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. The Bible says my citizenship is in heaven, praise God. My position's been set. I'm a child of the King this morning. Hey, Peter said over there, I believe it's in chapter 3, he said, but you're a chosen people. He said, you're a chosen generation, a peculiar people, and a royal priesthood. What y'all think about me getting adopted into royalty? My daddy's the King. Woo! I'm joint heir with my brother Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been adopted. Old primitive quartet said, thank God. My clothes no longer tattered. Amen. I'm glad. I'm a child of the King this morning. The prophet of the blood. It secures my pardon. Settles my position. I like this one. It strengthens my potential. You know, when I was outside the blood, I couldn't do anything right. You ever felt like that? Couldn't do anything right as a boy growing up. Sometimes you feel like you just couldn't ever do right. And you want to try hard to do something and just can't do it. Am I talking to anybody this morning? And you were trying to place how to please the boss and just can't never try. I can't never accomplish anything and can't never get it. You ever had a week like that? Everything goes to kaput. Say, man, just can't get it to go. Hey, that's how your life was before you got saved. You couldn't do it. All our righteousnesses were as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Oh, but when I got saved. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But I'm glad God dealt every man a measure of faith. And I'm glad he not only gave me common faith, a common grace of faith, but I'm glad he gave me saving faith. I'm glad he gave me faith to exercise into him. That I got saved by grace and through faith. You see, for a thirsty man, dying of thirst, the only thing standing between him and the water at the bottom of the well is that little bucket he's got lowered down. Now, that water down there represents grace. And the only way man can get to grace is by the bucket called faith. And boy, if you'll scoop that bucket down, I'm glad there's a plentiful supply this morning of grace. It strengthens my potential now and please God. Amen. And then number three, listen, there's power. The power of the blood. Amen. Thank God for the power of the blood. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9 says the faithful saying. And we're, I'm sorry. 1 John 1 9 said if we confess our sins that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 verse number 7 said if we walk in the light as he is in the light and we have fellowship one with another and the blood of his son Jesus Christ said it cleanses us from all our sins. Aren't you glad for the cleansing product of the blood of Christ? I'm not going to get into it this morning, but you want to know what fights your infections off when you get sick in your body? The blood. Amen. You listen, you come down with some cold or some virus, something bad off in your body, and listen, the problem that you've got is nothing external, that is not your flesh. You know, your flesh ain't your problem this morning. The reason why your flesh is the way your flesh is because your blood's the way it is. Amen. Listen, if the flesh had been the problem, Christ wouldn't have been able to be the seed of the woman. Because the baby gets her flesh, gets his flesh from the mama, but gets the blood from the daddy. Y'all listen to that? Amen. Problem's not the flesh. Problem's the blood on the inside. Amen. And I listen. Hey, when you get sick, it's not a problem of that flesh. It's a problem on the inside. It's a problem of the bloodstream. Now, you may get something contracted on the inside of you that may show up on the outside like it does some of y'all. It'll show up on you sometime. Old rash will break out. You may get cold chills. Listen, the cold sweats, man. You may get the shivers. Somebody say, man, eyes. Listen, pupils dilated. That little droopy eyes. May get them bags around them. Somebody, hey, what you got on the inside does affect the outside. By the way, listen, you can put makeup on. And you listen, you can try to fix your eyes. But you better get something deep down in that bloodstream to fix you. The blood's a cleansing. It's a natural cleansing. Agency, but there's one disease the blood cannot cure itself of, and that is a sin problem. Hey, tell me if the blood's not good enough to cleanse itself, you better go to one of them blood banks, and you better get old transfusion. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, when he said, Nicodemus, you better be born again. Not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God, 1 Peter chapter number 1. Amen. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Amen. Listen, he said, Nicodemus, the problem with you is you need another life. You know, it produces life. Blood produces life. You know, everybody's died, ever died in the 6,000 years that the world's ever been. You know, they all died from the same thing. Blood stopped flowing. It may be a car accident. It may be a heart attack. It may be a stroke. It may be a gunshot wound. It may die of cancer and AIDS. But the end result's the same. They can put them on life support. And as long as they can keep that heart pumping and blood flowing through the body, they can keep them alive. Everybody dies because the blood goes bad. Your blood's bad this morning. It's going to kill you one day. You better get a blood transfusion. You better get born again. Better get your blood taken out and get God's blood put in place of it. If they'd have took a DNA sample of Brother Stanley before I got saved, and one after I got saved, it'd probably be a different DNA structure. You know how I know that? Because it showed up on the outside. I stopped talking the way I was talking, stopped living the way I was living, stopped going places I was going. It's not my might nor my power, but my spirit saith, Lord, God did that. You know, some folk think right now I can't get saved because I can't do that. Well, I couldn't do it either, but I got a blood transfusion. It's a cleansing agency. And then I want to say not only does it cleanse, but it corrects. You know, there's some things, some diseases that you can contract inside of your body. And once you ever contract them, your blood will fight against those things in it to kill that disease. And then your body is capable inside of this bloodstream to build up what we call an immunity to that disease. You know, things like chicken pox and smallpox and things like that. If you ever get them one time, you don't never get them another time because your body builds up an immunity on the inside of it the way you can't never get it again. Well, I'm glad they certain things I can't never get again. Amen. I had a bad sin problem, but I don't have one no more. Jude, verse number 24, said, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. That's the correcting problem. God not only cleansed me, but he corrected me from going back that way. That's why I'm not of them that draw back into perdition, but I'm of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's why bunch went out from us, but they were not of us. Because if they'd been of us, they'd no doubt have continued, because God would correct you. Y'all believe that this morning? Now we're talking about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now there's some folk here this morning, you don't have the precious blood of Christ in your life. It's evident. You don't care about it. You don't like the preaching. You don't like the singing. You don't like the church house. You don't like the people of God. You'd rather play basketball, go shopping, or eat lunch. Nothing wrong with all those things. The only problem is you're going to die and go to hell one day. If you don't get born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. You'll continue in your sins, and you'll die. But God got enough blood to cover you this morning. In fact, in the Old Testament, his blood covered. But in the New Testament, his blood takes it completely away. Oh, John the Baptist saw him coming over there in John 1:21, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away sins of the world. In the Old Testament, they were just kind of covered up, Brother James. But when Jesus came, he came to take away sins of the world. Thank God when I was out of strength in due time. What about a man on his deathbed? No cure for the disease he's got. And just before he breathes his last breath, somebody comes in the door and said, I got the cure. Let you know, you may be just about on your last breath this morning. God's got the cure. God's got the cure, but you got to come to him for it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And God said, I'll give you rest. Let's stand for prayer. Lord,